Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me this week is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. She's returned from the frozen tundra of the ice rink to come join us for this Wednesday episode.
First week Wednesday, we don't have hockey in a long time.
Yeah. Well, welcome. We're happy to see you back. Also, are you staying warm?
Yeah, I mean, it got so cold here that my teenagers wore jackets and hats. So that says something here.
Shocking. Well, the boy child loves to walk everywhere, like, because campus isn't far from our house. His job isn't far from our house. He likes to walk. We'll offer him a ride constantly. We're like, hey, you want us to run you up? And he'll be like, nope, I'm going to walk. He actually asked Mike to run him up to his Frisbee thing that he had tonight. I'm like, it must be cold.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly. And it's like snowing in Florida.
Yeah, apparently. North Florida. They got a foot in North Florida.
I saw the funniest video of a, maybe it wasn't Tampa, Florida. I don't know. Someone in Florida, they didn't have a lot of snow yet. It was two guys sitting on, but it was like their county utility vehicle that... back of the truck was down. Two guys were sitting on the back of the truck with table salt, like the Morton salt things. Sprinkling it on their roads because they don't have salt reserves.
Yeah, we're not equipped for that. We don't even have signs that say bridge ice is first. Like, that is not a thing here.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing you have to worry about with it being this cold, but I guess it didn't get super cold in South Florida, though.
No, it's mostly up in the panhandle area.
The one that always cracks me up is when you get the iguanas might fall from trees.
It is cold enough for that. They've already been falling. They do fall from the trees.
Yeah. Like, watch overhead, iguana falling.
So there's hurricanes, alligators, and iguanas falling from trees. I'm out. I'll take negative 45 for whatever the hell we've had.
Yeah.
And there's imported, No
lizards falling on your head.
Pythons. Yeah. The whole, it's fun here.
It's a good time.
We have heated steering wheels and heated seats and like we're equipped for this, right?
Yeah.
My oldest is sleeping outside this week and it's going to be like -5 or whatever, which isn't terrible. Like for charity for homeless youth. So
that's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm not sleeping outside this week. I will take my heated blanket and the heating pad and clothes. Okay.
For that stuff.
Well, welcome to this week's Wednesday episode. On this episode, we are reviewing The Search by Nora Roberts. This is a standalone romance. And there are, though, things you should know. Amanda, would you like to read the things you should know?
Sure. The release date was May 26th, 2010. The subgenre is romantic suspense. Tropes are opposites attract, small town, broody hero, past trauma, found family, and protector hero. The point of view is multiple person, third person. And the put out percentage is 35%. The audio narrators, if you did the audiobook, is it Tanya Ebby?
Tanya Ebby. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is available on AnyPlay and Audible, and the ebook is available wide.
Yep. I think that The Search itself as a book is available in ebook on Hoopla.
Is it? Okay. I didn't think look there. So. I own it.
You own it. This is one of your favorite reads. This is a comfort read for you. You like to reread it?
I do. And you could probably say that for the majority of Nora Roberts' books. She's just a comfort author for me. So it's like, there's a formula. I know how it's going to go. I know how it ends. So,
yeah. And I think that's fair. I have read a lot of Nora Roberts in the past. I don't keep up with some of her current series, but I do like to revisit some of my favorites. Jenny and Heather, was this your first Nora Roberts read?
My first.
So this is my first in like recent, I think I probably read her a long time ago, but I don't remember it at all.
You know, she's one of those authors that she started as category. She wrote heavier romantic books. And then slowly, I think as she aged and became a more successful writer, she did kind of go the way more closer to women's fiction. And then she did dabble in her fantasies. Now, I've not read the newer stuff, but somebody said the new series that's coming out right now is spicier than what she's written previous.
It is. The Bride Trilogy. Yeah. It has more spice, but that leans into her, you know, into the little kind of magical. This one's more ghosts, but it's very much like her in at Boonesboro. It reminds me very much of that series.
Okay.
So there's a little more heat in this than she's done in a while, but her standalones are very much more suspense now than they are. I mean, there's a little bit of romance, but yeah, not much spice. Yeah,
a little more thriller suspense. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the romantic suspense. We are going to spoil this, so if you have not read this book, you might want to stop and come back. Because we are going to spoil it. So, what was the release date on this one? Is this like early 2000s?
2010.
So kind of that dawning of the true crime podcast. Like, you know.
Yeah.
2012, 2014 is when we saw the serial boom and stuff like that. So true crime was slowly starting to come forward. And I think a little bit of that true crime culture plays into her styling in this book of romantic suspense.
Yeah, I think it does, like a lot of her romantic suspense her kind of do that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jenny.
Oh, no, like I could see that, like in the way this was written and the, like with the reporter and yeah, the way it was written as not a mystery.
Yeah. Well, it's not a mystery. Yeah. And I know that third person is a struggle for Jenny and Heather. That is not their preferred POV. So I am curious for you two, having the serial killer's voice in chapters and in his head, did that enhance it? The suspense, I'm only talking about the suspense. Did that enhance the suspense line for you, or did it detract from the suspense line? Because you kind of, because of the things he does and the things he says, I feel like it's easier to pick up on who is the bad guy.
So I only got to like the very, I will be honest, I didn't get through the book. I was really struggling with the third person point of view, like a lot. I also am not in a good like reading spot, yeah. I guess is like how to frame this is like, I had to go back to like comfort reads. Like I felt like this was angsty, but not because I didn't like, I went in and I don't know what's happening. Right. And that was really hard for me. I do like getting their perspective though. Like a couple other romantic suspense authors do that. And I really like it. It kind of, I think, enhances it and adds to the story. I don't know, Jenny, what do you think?
I think for me, I didn't expect him so early. Like like I said, there was no mystery. Like we knew who the killer was right away. So I was kind of like, all right, now I struggled with this book a lot too. At 50%, I was like, this is not moving. At 80%, I was like, okay, we need to threaten her life, like, now. Like, let's get this over with.
So for Amanda and I kind of liked that they built her character, they built the relationship first. And then, I loved the dogs. Like, give me Jaws. I mean,
yeah, I know.
I own a Jaws, so, like, got it. And there were puppy moments that I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we did that. But I like that there was this kind of solid relationship foundation before she was attacked, before he really started to move closer in, before the first red scarf shows up.
Yeah, and I think this one, in the vein of like her romantic suspense, like she does that a lot. She'll cement the relationship before she gives you like the suspense portion. And I can see though, if I hadn't read this story before, like I could totally see, like, just like wanting to get to the point. And when I suggested it, I forgot that this was like 500 pages. So this is a long book. So
Yeah.
there, it takes a while to get to that point. So I completely understand the struggle when you're going into it and you've not really read anything by her. You don't really know like how she writes and you're waiting on something to happen. I can totally see that.
Well, and her standalones are longer.
Yeah.
So, and I.
Which makes sense. Like, if it is a standalone, you have to introduce the characters. There's a whole lot of backstory that you have to give. And I think she did a really great job of like character development. I mean, you are really invested in the characters and the dogs. Like, the dogs are really great.
I do think that we will do another Nora Roberts, but we might make them read like one of the bride books or one of the like Irish books or the Dahlias or something. Something
Yeah, she
that's.
tends to go a little shorter with those,
Yeah.
and they're a little lighter.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Fiona, our heroine, our female main character. I really like her. I think she's a really well-developed character. I liked her independence, but I can tell Jenny has thoughts about Fiona. Like, seriously, you're if you guys are listening, you should watch on YouTube because Jenny's face speaks volumes.
Yeah, I struggled with her. I mean, I guess as a person that does have trauma and struggles with asking for help, like I felt like she took it too far. Like you need to get over yourself for a second and just accept the help. And she did talk that out, but again, like it didn't move fast enough for me, or I am just not used to Nora's
Yeah.
style of being enough
See,
that.
and I, as someone that also has trauma and also has mountains of issues, I never ask. I mean, we all know this, right? Like, this is not a newsflash. I never ask for help or assistance. And so, I don't know. I felt she was relatable.
Yeah, same.
But I also think that it's a matter of I'm used to how Nora builds her characters and all of her characters. And that's something that I liked about this book, even like the stepmom and the vet friend. There were layers to them. They weren't just a name on the page. And how many times, you guys, do we read a book where a side character is simply a name on the page for somebody to have a conversation with? Like, it's just a story mechanic and not an actual character.
That's kind of how I felt about Simon. Like, I didn't feel like I got enough of who he was.
Oh.
I felt like it was Fiona's story.
Yes.
And they typically are. It's
Yes.
in a Nora Roberts book, you're typically going to get more for the female. She leans heavy into the female archetype.
I also think that that's the problem for third person. Because if we look at the Jennifer Crusie book that we did, now granted it was several hundred pages shorter, but it was her story more than it was his story. And I think that comes into that third person, multi-person point of view. Because, we know plenty of authors that still write in third person and do so well, but it's third person dual point of view. So if we think of a Carrie Ann Ryan book or Penny Reed writes in third person, right? No? The Winstons aren't third person?
Some of her books might be, but no, it's mostly first
Isn't
person.
mostly? But I'm just saying that, like, I know that there are authors that we love that write third person,
For
but
sure.
we get just two points of view and there's no head hopping. And I do think that makes a difference in feeling connected with the character. Because how many times have we sat here and said, oh, I really wish we had had his scene? The one we did this summer, The Next Best Fling.
Oh,
Because
yeah.
we never got his POV. And we all kind of sat there and said, oh, wouldn't it have been nice if we could have just had two chapters with his.
I think like more, I mean, I don't know how common this is like in past books, but like now we get a lot of like there's the title at the beginning of the chapter is usually
Yeah.
the name of the character, and you don't get that here. And like sometimes you're a couple paragraphs in before like you even know
Whose POV it
where
is.
are we, what
Yeah.
are we doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's harder with an unfamiliar author.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, I actually just came across a reel or something, and somebody was talking about how some authors used to just like actually title like the chapter, and it kind of gave you hints about what the chapter was going to be about. And a lot of authors have stopped doing that. Just like I remember the first time I read my the first person dual point of view book, I was like, I was sort of thrown off by it. And now I think you're so used to it. And so coming back, it was, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I don't think it's the book. It was definitely me. Like, I'm the problem. I did the Anyplay, and then the narrator, I don't, Becky's like, I'm loving the narrator. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like feels like
I
that's
think
hard for
Tanya Ebby
me.
is one of those that you either love or hate her. I don't think there's any in between for her. And she is also one that's really hard to speed up.
Yeah,
And if a
and
story
then
is
so then
dragging and you try to speed her up,
I checked it out from the library, and then that wasn't working for me. So then I ordered it from Target, and then the book comes ripped. Like Justin opens it and he's like, "This is ripped." I'm like, are you joking me right now? I just want to read the
Oh no.
damn book." So
Heather's just
I
not
don't,
supposed to read
I know. So it's not,
it.
it was, it's not the book. It's me. Like right now,
Well,
it's
but I
me.
don't
Like
know that
I'm the
it's not.
problem.
It's, I don't think it's you. I don't think it's you're the problem. I think what this shows, though, is, you know, we were very mean earlier this month to the Amy Dawes book that many people loved. I mean, it got a big fancy deal. But I think that this shows that there are some books that are right for you at the right time. There are some books that are just not going to be your jam, either the way the story moves. I mean, when we read the Anna Blakely earlier this summer, I love romantic suspense. And for years, Leah has given me a hard time saying, I don't like romantic suspense. I did not like the Anna Blakely book. Like, it didn't do anything for me. And I didn't feel like the suspense was like really believable. Like, there was a lot of too stupid to live. And, but this book, the suspense did it for me. So again, I think it's just a matter of this isn't the right book for you at this time. It might have been the right book for you in 2010. And it's always going to be a right book for Amanda because she has a connection to the author and the way she writes her words. And that's okay. That's why we keep doing this and mixing things up.
Yeah, I mean, and I like to hear other people's opinions because, like I said, Becky was like, "Oh, do you want to lead this one?" I was like, "No," because I have a hard time like leading like a discussion about something that I have like such a personal connection to. Like, this is not her best book, but it's like a 5-star book for me because I've read it so many times that I actually convinced myself that the story where she gets, kidnapped and whatever, I convinced myself that was based on real events. Like, I had to look it up and thought that that actually happened. I was like, which killer is this based off of? And it's not at all, but I've read it so many times that I convinced myself it was.
So
So,
I was actually curious if this was actually based on a real serial killer. Because
nope.
it make it like sort of adds up. Like, you know what
Yeah.
I mean?
No. And it's really interesting because one of my favorite books by her is Shelter in Place, which we
Oh,
would
yeah.
not have read because I think it would have been triggering for a lot of people because it is two kids that survived a shooting in a movie theater.
Yeah, at a mall.
At a mass shooting in a movie theater in a mall, and then reconnect on the,
Heather's
and then they reconnect 10 years later,
Yeah.
and she, and there's survivor's guilt, and you know.
Gosh, did I read that book?
It's a really good
I
book, but
might have to go back
it's a
and see if I read that
really,
book.
it's a very good book,
Yeah.
but particularly for parents with kids in a school
Yeah.
or parent or teachers, it would be a very triggering
And
book.
it's very descriptive. It is, I mean, the way she just, how she's descriptive in this book, it is the same in that situation, and it's rough. And I will tell you, I listened to the audio and it almost did me in. Like, I was like,
It's a very dynamic story. But again, it's not the right book for everybody at this time, you know? So,
I do like how descriptive and detailed she is. Like, I really appreciated that because I feel like you were there. Like, I could totally picture everything that was happening with the amount of detail she gives.
And the other thing, and I always feel like a Nora book, and you guys might not agree, very few plot holes, unresolved issues, like always the books round out and are finished. I'm never going like, huh? And she's not going to call a lakeside town coastal. I'm just saying, she's not going to do that. There's just a quality to her writing that we don't always see.
Oh, she's a very good author. Like that's you can tell when you pick up her book that it's her craft. It's like her craft.
Yeah.
I don't
Right.
know.
Well, and I mean, she's got a team that knows, like, she's Nora Roberts.
Yeah, right.
I
mean,
Like
she's been doing it since what, the 80s?
the 80s.
Yeah, she's
Yeah.
not uploading the book just at 3 a.m. when she typed the
Right.
end. She's got a team of editors
in.
and people helping her, right? Which is, good for her. Like,
Right.
right? And
Well,
she.
and that's what's going to make a solid book, right?
Yeah. Amanda, Susie says, I really like, Susie's in the comments on the YouTube chat and says, I really like this book. She's read it several times. So you are not alone in your love of this story. Let's talk about Simon because I feel like we need to give Simon some moments here. He is super broody. He's a little gruff.
He's blunt.
Doesn't have a lot of couth. Mister could not flirt himself out of a McDonald's bag. I don't even know how he dated a pop star. Like, dude, you have like no, like, there's no suave about him. And Jenny did not like him.
I mean, I didn't hate him. I don't think it's like I disliked the character, either one of the main characters. I didn't like their relationship together.
So you didn't like them as a couple.
Right. So that made me
Interesting.
struggle.
Because they're absolutely opposites attract, but I actually liked them as a couple because I felt like he pushed and challenged, and she, for so long, because of the loss of the fiance, because of the trauma of being kidnapped and, the aftermath of all of that. She was just living a very basic life and not putting herself out there. I mean, there's that whole conversation between her and Min where they talk about, like, well, it's been 9 months, it doesn't count.
Oh yeah.
Like,
And she's been content to kind of, let everybody has been content to let her do it.
yeah.
They don't, like you said, they don't really push her. Like they let her have her independence. And, she's just kind of like not letting anybody know really what's going on with this new killer coming out. And Simon pushes her to deal with it and kind of let people in.
And I think about that scene in the kitchen when she gets the first red scarf and he walks in and she's like trying to fumble for the knife. He doesn't just like baby her. He doesn't like, oh, you were so scared. He like calls her out and is like, so, which is funny, Jenny, because it sounds like you wanted him to be more like emotionally available and more squishy lovey. And
No, that wasn't it. Like, I see how they work. My problem was with their trade system. It was always tit for tat. Like, we're gonna trade.
okay.
Like, oh, can I make you a sandwich? Well, I don't want you to make me a sandwich. Well, if you make these little slats for me,
Oh, see.
and then you can make, that's what bothered me. And then when she puts the slats, like she's putting the slats in his drawers, like reorganizing his stuff, but she asked to use the gym equipment. I'm like, you just like reorganized his whole kitchen, but you're gonna ask to use the treadmill?
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But the tit for tat doesn't bother me because I negotiate that relationship pretty often around here.
Yeah, see, that's, I just, maybe because that's something I really had to learn as an adult, was like, it doesn't always have to be tit for tat. Like, you don't owe me something just because I did something for you. So
we just,
yeah. And I think Simon had to learn that too. So I think that was part of it, you know, like that it doesn't have to be that way. So,
Another thing that I think is really interesting that Nora Roberts does, and I do not know how well traveled she is. I know that she lives in the Maryland area. But this book takes place on the San Juan Islands, the Orca Islands, so the Pacific Northwest. And she gets the environments and the settings so well. And it's really interesting because this came out 2010. That was at the height of the Twilight stuff that was taking place in the Pacific North, because those books take place in the Pacific Northwest. So I sometimes have to wonder, did she pick that on purpose?
I'd have.
You know.
Maybe she's a fan and went and visited.
Well, she might have, but it's also a marketing thing. There was like a call for a lot of books with that setting. So
I didn't put that together.
Me
but
either.
I agree. Like, she gets the setting and the details and all the little nuances really well.
Do you take Simon? I felt like Simon was socially awkward. Like, he didn't really know how to be an engaged human. And I wonder if that's some of what you struggled with a little bit, Jenny.
Maybe. I think I also would have liked to see, he seemed close to his family, but we didn't see his family. Maybe it would have been nice to see him interact with his mom.
Yeah.
Like, we see Fiona interact with his mom, but not really him. And again, maybe that's the third person thing, because you don't get inside their head.
Right. Right. Like him with the customers when he's like bringing the stuff in and he's like trying to legit run away.
That, I was like, I get you, dude. Like, I would have made it. Yep. I would have been so gone, too.
I think he comes across to me as, like, an artist in the sense that, like, he's so engrossed in his world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's definitely a creative. He can't see past his own moments, his own creativity. And I think that's part of the struggle with the dog for him, too, which I did kind of like that. Like, he wasn't willing to give up on the dog. And they talk about that right there in the beginning. Like, if you got a dog from your mom and you did not want a dog, would you be looking to rehome it? Especially if you're a single guy that's busy. Or would you be like, okay, I got to get some friggin' help with this monster? So I felt like that was some insight to his level of care and compassion. But, you know, I think a lot of authors will do that. They'll use animals or children as a way to show that, like, this character, even though they're kind of blunt, brusque, not suave, that they have the ability to love. Like, we see it all the time in mafia romances, right? Like the single dad mafia guy or the mafia uncle who loves the kids and the kids love him. But, you know, he just shot a guy in the basement before he came down to sit down at dinner.
Well, I also think, like, maybe it's because I have boys that, like, I hope my kids are, like, emotionally available, but they don't often know how to express what they need or want in words, and so their actions are more speaking. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, well,
and I think that maybe is him too,
and I do think more POV from him, more internalized thought process, would help him in this story.
I didn't dislike him. I mean,
he comes off as an asshole. I'll get it.
One of my favorite scenes is when he puts his handprint on the window. I thought it was hilarious. Like, she cleaned the window. It's the one window. And he's like, I don't want you to clean my windows. And he walks over and he puts his handprint on it. And he's like, don't clean it. I don't know why, but that made me laugh.
Jenny or Amanda loves an asshole.
I do.
She really, really
loves an asshole.
I do.
She really, really does.
I know
because we were talking about Reed Rivers by Lauren Rowe, and I'm like, he's re-listening to those books. He's such a dick. And, and Amanda's like, and I love him.
If I tell you that I don't like a male main character because he's an asshole, you should be real worried.
We will.
That he's going to be like.
Or it's a call for help. That's like her, I'm being held hostage.
She's been taken.
Someone has abducted me. Yeah.
She is in trouble.
If she thinks he's an asshole and doesn't like him, then we all would hate him.
Hate him, yeah.
Except Leah. Leah might be down, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Leah does like an ass. Okay, so speaking of Leah, and she's probably not watching, but I have to tell this story. Somebody, I had a publishing meeting earlier this week with a publisher. Trad wife romance.
Nope.
Don't ask for that.
Where the heroine is like a trad wife. That is going to start. That is something publishers are looking at because people are fascinated by it, like the mom talk and the trad wife. And I'm like, Jesus freaking Christ. No, thank you. Nobody's buying that.
Leah read a bunch of those recently.
She did.
I did. She suggested it. So the one she suggested.
The cheating
Amanda
one?
Would never. So it was like trad wife. She was like Martha Stewart. She was like this blogger, whatever. Husband was like having an affair. And she like basically like destroyed his life. And he came crawling back to her and he became her bitch. I mean, is what it came down to. So
I mean,
there was lots of cheating all over the pages. So it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. Is there
we're
any
way off topic? No.
We are so off, and that's fine.
Not us.
Is there anything in this book that you absolutely loved, or you absolutely hated, or you think we still need to talk about? Like, did you guess did you guess who the killer was? Like, from.
No. I don't even know who it is because I didn't finish it.
Oh, I need to.
You can tell me.
I mean, I don't know. We get his like his perspective, I think, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of mystery in who it was. Like, and also too, because it was kind of like there was a little bit, but it was like, you know, Perry was also like a main. So you have Perry and you have Eccles. So I think because you had that where he was, you know, doing his protege or whatever. So I think it was like a little less mysterious.
Yeah. I hated the FBI agents though. They were really annoying. Like, I was not a fan of those two. But
yeah,
I think they were supposed to be annoying, but they were dumb.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, and the reporter, Katie Starr? I was like, Katie Starr. But like, her ending is like tragic. And I'm, how far he takes it with her, I was like,
yeah, she doesn't really shy away from any of that stuff. Like, I mean, you get pretty graphic descriptions when she has like murders and things happen like in her books. Yeah. But I can probably trace back my dislike for reporters to Nora Roberts. Like, if I read a book, then one of the main characters is a reporter, I'm usually like, they're already like in a negative star when I start the book. So
she does like to make reporters the villains in her book.
She does. And I can honestly probably trace my dislike of them to her.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about on this book? On The Search? The Dogs? Okay. And we'll get to this when we do If You Liked This, Read This, because I have a thought. And I will save it for that. Okay, let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda?
I mean, I'm obviously a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Jenny?
I'm thumbed sideways because... I mean, I respect Nora Roberts for who she is, and the writing's solid, and there's no plot holes, but this book does not suit me.
It was not for you. Oh my God.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Heather, thumbs up,
I'm
thumbs down.
I'm the exact same as Jenny.
Okay.
I think that I respect Nora, and I think it just wasn't the right time for me for this book.
I think that's fair. And I'm a thumbs up. I mean, when I first time I read this, I did rate this as a 3-star. It's not my favorite Nora Roberts, but it's always a solid story. So And I think it's worth giving it a try. Okay, so if people liked this book, what other books that you do you think that they should try? And I'm going to say this, and then we can talk about this. I have come to the conclusion that Katherine Cowles is a Nora Roberts knockoff.
Yep. Oh, and I mean, and that's probably why I like her. Yeah.
It is like
great value brand.
It's like, it is because her books are not as long. They're not as in depth. The research isn't done as well. And so it's not as solid a presenting. I mean, it's a good story, but it doesn't have the solid execution. And you typically can figure out a Katherine Cowles bad guy, like the first time they appear on the page, like, you know where it's going to go. She has a very clear formula. And I think that she read Nora Roberts, was really inspired by the thrillers and the suspense of Nora Roberts, and writes it in her own voice. She's not recycling Nora's topics or Nora's stories. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is kind of the, you know, we could buy it at Bloomingdale's, Nora Roberts, or you could buy it at Feynman's Basement, and you have Catherine. Like, they're quality stories. They're just, one's a little, you know, elevated over the other.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. And I think that's probably when I first started reading Katherine Cowles, that was probably like a big attraction for me, because it's in a very similar vein. They have a formula. You're going to get a set of like heroines that have similar archetypes. You're going to get heroes that have similar archetypes. Like Nora Roberts says the same thing. You can pick various characters over her many books and they fall within a category. But yeah, I would agree. Like the Katherine Cowles, they're shorter and they're a little less well done.
Yeah.
But if you want to read something that's in like first person, dual POV, or even, did she write third or first? I'm forgetting. Katherine, I don't remember. I think they're dual. Very similar.
I think she's third dual.
Is it third dual? Okay. So yeah, I mean, if you struggle with the, you know, the multi-person head hopping, like, I think Katherine Cowles is a good alternative.
Katherine Cowles, her books are softer. They are not going to be as gory as Nora Roberts books are. But we also have to remember, Nora Roberts is marketed very differently than a traditional romance author.
She
writes across the line, so you will have people who are like, oh, I don't read romance, especially dudes. I don't read romance, but I read a Nora Roberts.
I could see that.
Because she writes in that thriller vein, and the romance typically, I think in this book, it was more of that journey of self-discovery, of coming to terms that you can love after loss. But the relationship was pretty forward in this book. And sometimes in a Nora book, the relationship isn't as forward.
Yeah, you get a mix.
So, okay. Other books I think that fall into this vein, Heartbreaker by Julie Garwood. Again, third person head hopper, but, you know, there's a serial killer in it. And, you know, he confesses his murders to her brother, the priest. Wild for You by Kristen Proby. That Wild for You Montana series has those light stalkers. I think that's the one you and I did, Jenny.
Yeah, it is.
They're not. Again, I think Kristen Proby is a lighter version of Katherine Cowles with the suspense, but it's in that kind of small town. There's a pattern. There's a rhythm to them. And then, let's see here. Reckless.
If you like.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry.
Reckless Hope by Nyssa Catherine. I think there's a stalker, serial killer kind of situation.
If you like a pattern, Susan Stoker, I mean, she always hits, but her suspense is good. She has a pattern. The Protection series by Kennedy Mitchell, like if you like to get the perspective of the bad guy, Kennedy does that. And hers are a little shorter.
Katherine Cowles writes in first person I was incorrect.
Okay.
She writes
I was
dual
like, I
first
thought
person.
so, but then I was like questioning myself if maybe she started in third or
She
something.
might have started in third, but she's dual first person. Like the current series is
Okay.
dual first person. I went looking.
Yeah, and I saw you have A.L. Jackson on there. I think she's another really good comp, and she gets a little darker with some of her stuff.
Yeah.
So, I think she's also a very good comp.
I think for A.L. Jackson, she does what Nora Roberts does with a really good job of making interesting side characters. Now, granted, her side characters are either from previous books or they're going to get books in the
Yeah.
future, but these are solid side characters that you just don't feel like it's a mechanic of the story. It's an actual piece to the story, that relationship, that connection kind
Yeah,
of
and I'll
thing.
say too, like in the vein of her standalones being longer, is that you'll usually get like a secondary relationship. Like you get a little bit of Mai with Tyson, you get a little bit of James and Lori. Like you'll usually have like side characters actually having relationships in a Nora Roberts standalone. So I think sometimes too, because she fleshes them out so well and they'll actually get a relationship, that it will tend to make it a little longer.
Yeah, it's more than just one
Yeah.
relationship to the book. Yeah, any other books you think people would like if they liked this book or are looking for like a romantic suspense?
No, you had all my big ones on your list, so
Oh, I apologize. I really like after I got done with the search and then I sat there and I thought about it and I'm like, Catherine Cowles, I bet, read a lot of Nora Roberts.
Yeah, when I saw it on your list, I was like, that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, especially after reading this one, particularly because of the Orca Islands, the San Juan Islands, that like Pacific Northwest vibe. And you
Snapping.
know, what?
The kidnapping.
Well,
Oh.
kidnapping, but also the piece, the other piece was of it was the like she is, you know, the search and rescue because not that Catherine always has a search and rescue, but typically in her books, there will be some kind of search. You know, spread out and let's look, or we think she's in this area, kind of things, after she's been kidnapped. And so it just kind of the setting, the vibes, it really leaned into that. And it just, it's kind of one of those moments where you're like, oh, I see this now. Do you know what I mean? Does that...
Yeah.
Okay. So make sure you join us Sunday, where we are going to talk about second chance romances and marriage. So, we're going to feature second chance romances where they were either previously married or maybe they still are married. We're going to dabble in a little bit of both of it. And then we are back next Wednesday with Maisie Yates. Oh, crud. I forgot the
Happy
name of the
after
book.
all.
What is it?
Happy after all, I
Happy
think.
After All. Yes. So we will be back next Wednesday with that. And that is in Kindle Unlimited, and it's a read listen from Maisie. Thank you for joining us on our deep dive of The Search by Nora Roberts. Whether you're a fan of romantic suspense, a sucker for opposites attract love stories, a dog lover dreaming of your own adorable, mischievous jaws, or an Ollie. If you'd like an Ollie, I have one. This book truly has something for everyone. We loved unpacking Fiona and Simon's journey, the slow burn of their romance, the incredible details about search and rescue that make this story unforgettable. Again, don't forget to let us know your thoughts. Did Fiona's strength and Simon's grumpiness win you over? Were you captivated by the dogs as we were? Share your favorite moments or why this book ranks high on your Nora Roberts list. Before we go, remember to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And check out our website for more book reviews, recommendations, and all things romance. You can also follow us on social media, join the conversation, and connect with other romance readers. Until next time, everybody, happy reading!
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.